Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Sydney Sprague.
Let's see what I know. I know that there is Arizona,
yep.
Phoenix, but then there was a side trip to Austin.
True.
But then you toured coffee shops and malls when you were just a youngin'.
True.
And you've been at this, you've been touring for 14 years, which means that you were definitely underage and sneaking into bars.
100%, yes. I guess not a lot of people ask me about Austin and being in Austin and like what that was like as a young musician.
As someone who has gone to South by Southwest since, oh, I don't know. I think my first baseball cap since 2004. So what was Austin like for you? And I mean, you did a diversion. You headed for Austin. Do you head for Austin to, quote, make your career?
Well, I was actually born there originally.
Okay, Sydney. Let's get this one. This is where the bio and everything is all, to use a nice Jewish New York word, for schmoogle. It's help me out here.
I was born there. And then when I turned 18, I had my rebellious moment and I went back to Austin for...
Went right back there.
Yeah, for I think a year and a half. And then I came back to Phoenix again.
But a year and a half?
Yeah, ish. Give or
take. That's not a long time.
It was intimidating. I was, you know, I was 18 and trying to do the music thing. And like you said, there's just, you know, tons of musicians there. So I didn't really feel... I didn't know where I fit in, and I hadn't really found enough of my voice yet to feel confident to like put myself fully out there.
Well, the other thing that I think I want to clear up here is that this music, particularly on the new record, you know, even though it is, quote, about the end of the world, you didn't decide to make this music for COVID. You had already decided you wanted to make music about the end of the world
mm-hmm.
pre this lovely situation we've lived in for the past year.
Yeah. I have a lot of anxiety. I don't know if that's evident or not, but I've always had just, you know, nerves, a lot of nerves and a lot of like expecting the worst to happen at all, at every moment. So I had like kind of felt like something horrible was going to happen for the last maybe like 2 or 3 years. And that kind of like manifested into 10 songs.
You get to be a psychic that nobody wants to know.
Nobody wants
right?
to hear it.
you're going to go in and people are going to be like, okay, tell me the future. And you are not going to have any business as a psychic.
No.
You are going to be such an epic failure yeah. as a psychic.
Yeah. I'll just say the opposite of whatever.
Anxiety is one thing, but you're not striking me, and I don't want to blow the whole cover of everything you're doing for a living, but you don't strike me as an unhappy person.
I would say it's, you know, like it comes in phases for sure. I think overall
I do know you write your songs. I'll just get this out that you write, I'll do it in the announcer voice that you write most of your songs when you're sad. So we've got that.
Yeah. I think that's
cool.
Like, that's how I get the sad out. Like it's in there most of the time, but I exercise it. I get it out of my body.
Oh, catharsis is the greatest word in the English language.
That's it.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of Phoenix as a music market. I don't think very many people look to Phoenix as a heavy-duty music place.
Right. It hasn't been for as long as I've been here the last, like, you know, 10 or whatever years until recently. There's been no music scene. There has been, like, hardly any culture whatsoever until the last couple of years.
So why now and why happy there? Why does it work for you?
Well, I mean, before the COVID times, the scene had just kind of started to be a thing. The venues started, you know, popping up to support that.
Why do you think that is?
Honestly, I think the lack of it for so many years kind of forced it. There was nothing going on and people saw an opportunity to do something. So we
wow.
started seeing bands and stuff like that. But there's now just like every day I'm still hearing of like new acts coming up because it's such a big city. There's like, you know, like 5 or 6 different little cities that make up the like metropolitan
right,
area.
Right,
so,
right.
you know, I don't know 90% of what's going on in the city that I live in.
Okay, so I want to kind of go back just a little bit to, I'll do it again, the political years. The other stuff,
yeah.
that A song, the other stuff that you were doing.
Yeah.
Because we're here to talk about the new music.
Right.
But I think that the old music has to inform the new music to a certain extent.
Sure.
So you made a bit of a, I don't think you really made a bit of a sea change per se, because it is your voice. It is your writing.
Right.
But there is, we're talking a couple of years here.
Yeah.
And there is a difference.
Definitely. I don't know that it was really like an intentional change. Like, I write about whatever's bothering me at the time, and at that time it was mostly politics that were bothering me.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, so that's just kind of what came out, you know, naturally. But I think now I still am obviously bothered by a lot of what's going on in the world, but I've been more consumed in my own like personal life and that kind of stuff, so that's just what happened.
You got a label in Italy.
How do you
come up with of all the labels, I'm a Jewish boy from New York doing this. How do you come up with a label? Come on, Sydney. How do you come up with a label in Italy?
Man, I don't know. I signed in, it was June last year. So like, you know, in the midst of lockdown.
But and we'll get to the making of the record, but had you made the record yet?
Yeah, I had actually I put out the first single before they had gotten
it. Okay, so you had a record ready to sell
to
somebody.
I was ready. I was just going to put it out on my own and just to get it out. I was super stoked to have new music out. But the guy that mixed my record, Mike Pepe, is the one who made the introduction for me. He's an awesome, awesome dude in LA. And he is friends with Federico, an awesome A&R at Rood, and he dug the record and he reached out, and now I'm friends with a bunch of Italians.
How did you connect with Sam? I mean, I know you probably admired the music.
Obsessed.
Who did you go to get to him? How did that happen?
Actually, my best friend, Danielle Dirac, she's another Phoenix singer-songwriter.
Yes, she's right here on the piece of paper thing.
She's the queen of my world. And she made a record with Sam. They were like childhood friends. So she had known him forever. I've obviously, again, obsessed with her record. So we had toured up through Seattle in 2019. And while we were up there, she took me by the studio. I ended up making a song in there then. And then I was like, I got to do more. And that's that.
So where do you think hooks got into your head?
I'm a 90s child. So the first, I know I'm not supposed to talk about my early influences or anything like that.
Oh, no. But remember, I said, just so we're clear, and this is where the fun comes in, I said I wasn't going to lead you down that path. I'm not going to say Avril Lavigne meets Phoebe Bridgers. I'm not going to say that. I never said that. You never heard that from me, Sydney, okay?
But I love it.
But I never said that. This is on you.
I will say that. The first album I bought was Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time. I was super, you know, into NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. That was like the first stuff that I was into. And I think that was just like the injection of like the hook into my brain. So I think listening to, you know, pop, and then, you know, I was really into 90s alternative and emo and like pop punk, and then, you know, a little bit of all of that is in there. And I think like having the indie like sophistication with the like the need for like a hook that really sinks in your brain is where I'm a little bit different, maybe.
When people say, oh, so what do you call your music? How do you avoid it? Or do you not care?
I guess I don't care. I guess I feel like I'm a little bit of all of it. So I'll identify in whatever bucket people want to put me in. But it's definitely hard to like, if, you know, somebody asks me what's my genre, it's like, well, indie, pop, rock, alternative, country, Americana. Like, you know, it's a long string of stuff, but I'll take any of them.
What is the filter for a Sydney Sprague song? How do you know? Because I know that you've been taking songwriting classes and you'll probably end up writing songs for other people at some point and all of that.
I think it's literally just the catharsis. I think that's it. When it feels good, that's when I know I want to play it.
The apocalypse, but then the balance of having the optimism to get you through.
Yeah. Well,
this is a tricky notion.
Yeah, it's
for all of us.
All of us. I think at least for the record itself, like a lot of it was not forced, but like I felt like I was being so negative and like almost manifesting that things were going to be bad by putting it out there constantly that things were going to be bad. So there is a few songs in there that are me intentionally like, no. You tell yourself it's going to be okay, even if you know it's not. It's like denial, I guess,
right.
A little bit.
Right.
Hopeful denial.
Like, there's two parts to object permanence.
Yeah.
There's the whole infant thing, which I'm imagining is the concept of that something that they have very young is kind of embedded in their mind as kind of a, you know, a thing that they always remember. Like you always remember your baby carriage. You always remember something about growing up a street or a house. But then it also applies to long distance relationships, which we've all had.
Yeah.
Had. So that's an interesting Petri dish you got there in that song, Sydney.
Yeah. I was like a metaphor, you know, kind of. I was in a long distance relationship with a dude on tour all the time. So just kind of like trying to cope with remembering that something is real when it's not around you all the time, which made me think of like literally like peekaboo with kids. Like if you're not looking at it, you can forget it's there. And so that was the inspiration kind of for that song.
How much autobiographical do you put in versus I'm telling a story about someone like me?
This album in particular is 100% about me, my life and my stuff.
What would you do with Max Martin? If Max Martin calls you up right now and says, hello, Sydney. I cannot do that accent, but hello, Sydney. It's Max. What do you want to do? What would you do with Max Martin, given that you're just putting out the Apocalypse record, right? Yeah. And then Max calls you up and says, hey, guess what? You can have the record after the Apocalypse. What would you do with him if he magically appeared?
Oh my God, that's my dream, for one. But God, I don't know.
But is it about sound? Is it about co-writing? Is it about, what is it about? Because there are some people, again, you know, your publicist might go, you know, you really shouldn't talk about Max Martin because right. That's going to blow your cover as an indie rock artist, right. Sydney. I don't care, by the way, as you can tell.
Right. I think it's definitely the songwriting for me. There's definitely a, you know, the big pop sound, the expensive production sound that is, you know, always going to be a thing. But I think just like going back to the early Britney Spears, the NSYNC, like those hooks, man, that's what it's all about. I want to write
indeed.
With them so bad.
Indeed. So the visuals that go with all of this, you've really dug in and learned green screen and you've had to really DIY it.
Yeah,
I
had time. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The first video that I put out, which was for the song that was already out before the signing and all that, I did all myself on my iPhone green screen. A lot of the live videos that we've done just in my kitchen, just on my phone. But as we got more into the process and the label came along and there was budget to do bigger, more fun things, I've done a few more like high budget videos and stuff like that.
I know in terms of it all being you, in terms of the subject matter of the songs, but people have had a taste of a few.
Yeah.
Are they going to be surprised by anything?
Maybe. The interesting thing about my record is that none of the songs really sound alike. They're all pretty different. There's like a whole lot of, like some of them are way more indie. There's some of them like Steve is more like upbeat pop rock kind of vibe. So I think it's going to be interesting once the record is out because the singles are all the more upbeat songs and the rest of the record is going to be way more sad. So it'll be interesting to see what people think about that.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And okay. What it is two of your songs on the outside. And then in between, you can play anything you want. And this is where I use all that music in the lovely studio behind me.